This is Carolyn Crabtree. I'm in Campbellsville, Kentucky with Peggy Jones. Today is November the 13th, 2009. We're here to discuss the genealogy of the McDowell, Mitchell, Crawford family that was connected with the McDowell house. Peggy, thanks for meeting with me today to do this. We're just going to be very informal about this. I would like to just have you just tell me what research you've done and how you've found the relationships of all these families that are connected with Dr. McDowell in some way or another, and Jane Todd Crawford. So, just let you start.
Okay, my name is Peggy Moore Jones, the great-granddaughter of Rachel Crawford and Thomas Mitchell. My father was William Reed Moore, son of Elizabeth Crawford Mitchell. She was the daughter of John Addison Mitchell, and John Addison was the son of Rachel and Thomas. Jane Todd Crawford was the wife of my great-grandmother's brother. There are no Todd Crawford descendants left in Greene County that we know of, but many Crawford Mitchell descendants still reside here. The McDowell-Mitchell family connection. Ethram McDowell, the great-grandfather of Dr. McDowell, came to America in 1729. One of the children that accompanied him was Margaret McDowell. She later married William Mitchell. William was the uncle of Thomas Mitchell, who was the brother-in-law of Jane Todd Crawford. And Thomas Mitchell was married to Rachel Crawford, the sister of Thomas Crawford. It is also recorded that the Mitchells and Crawfords were related. Margaret McDowell Mitchell was the grand aunt of Dr. McDowell and the aunt-in-law of Thomas Mitchell. This leads me to believe that the Mitchells and McDowells would have known each other, and also the fact that they all came from Rockbridge County, Virginia. Quoting from the Annals of Surgery in May 1979, Jane Todd Crawford was 8 years old when Dr. McDowell was born, and both in Rockbridge County, Virginia. There's no proof that these two young people knew each other. However, their parents could scarcely have failed to have some acquaintance, since both families were early settlers and were people of substance and enterprise. During this period, when this entire area of the part of Butetut County, Samuel Todd was the county sheriff. Also in 1779, Liberty Hall Academy, a Presbyterian school, was established in the immediate vicinity of the Timber Ridge Presbyterian Church. The Mitchell family history states that the years of schooling for Thomas Mitchell were 1775 to 1787, and it is probable that his tutelage outside of the home was at the Liberty Hall Academy, which later became Washington and Lee University. Then I have the Mitchell family history that says in the autumn of 1805, the Crawfords and the Mitchells left Rockbridge County, Virginia, traveling the Wilderness Road through the Cumberland Gap and on to their new home in Greene County. The deed in their joint purchase of Kentucky land is indexed under Crawford and Mitchell and recorded in the Greene County Deed Book on September the 1st, 1805. The records show that Thomas Mitchell's share included the site of Camp Knox and Skin House Branch, which we know is the site of the Long Hunters Camp. Mm-hmm. Their journey to Kentucky, as stated in some documents, is that the two families shared an oversized wagon drawn by two oxen. And I have found this in several of my readings, but in the Mitchell history that I have, it states that Thomas Mitchell introduced blooded horses into the Green River country, known as the Wilkes Trotting Stock, and that he used two teams of this breed for his wagon rather than the oxen. And the trip to Danville in 1809, records are unclear as to who accompanied Jane Todd Crawford on their three-day journey on horseback to Danville on that cold December day, with the possibility of all sorts of encounters along the way. I have a copy of the Kentucky Medical Journal, which was published in 1942, and it has the story written by George Madden Martin. And George evidently was a woman.
Oh, really?
Because it goes on to say that she tells of Jane Todd Crawford and the great experiment as it came down through the family of Thomas Howell Crawford. Thomas Howell was the youngest son of Jane Todd Crawford and was the third mayor of Louisville. The story was taken from the family journals and from the memory of stories told to children. So this story verifies to me that her husband Thomas did accompany her on this historic journey, although there's some evidence that he did not, maybe from some of McDowell's writings and whatnot, but
I don't know where they get the idea that he did not come with her.
Well, they've said that through some of McDowell's, you know, writings that,
that's where
that comes from.
Okay.
But this medical history, you know, is from family memories, and it very much, you know, has Thomas accompanying her. So.
Now, there was a Thomas Crawford that lived in the Perryville area of Mercer County at the time, Boyle now. Is it possible he could have brought his wife here and then stayed with, were those family members maybe? Or have you run across anything that shows that they were related?
No.
Because they married, Thomas Crawford, I believe, married a Crow who was connected with John Crow that built the fort or built Crow Station there in Danville. Of course, he was killed early by a slave, but I've often wondered if the Mitchells and the Crawfords in the Boyle County area are connected with the families here.
Hmm.
And I believe they must be, but we haven't been able to find any connection yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you done any research on that at
no.
all?
No.
Well.
But I know. Then I have the connections of, you know, we've talked about the connections between Jane Todd Crawford and Mary Todd Lincoln. And the information that I have on that, and this may be a little confusing, but from published notes taken by my uncle, Thomas Clellan Moore, who was the great-grandson of Rachel and Thomas Mitchell, he had letters from a Mrs. Clementine Raley to him concerning the Mitchell and Crawford family history. Jane Todd Crawford and Mary Todd Lincoln were descended from two of the brothers who settled in Pennsylvania. Jane's grandfather, Samuel Todd, and Mary Todd Lincoln's great-grandfather, David Todd. And then I've come across this book, Forerunners of Lincoln, by Lucius V. Rule, which I have found really interesting, and it has a lot of information in it about the Todd family. And it states that Reverend John Todd Sr. of Pennsylvania and Virginia's son's name was John Todd Jr., who was Parson Todd. And this gets,
is that a name or a
well,
title?
he was a minister, and they called him Parson Todd. And there's a lot
okay.
of information in this. That's the book there.
Forerunners of Lincoln.
Forerunners of Lincoln and Parson Todd. Let's see, John Jr. was the first cousin of Colonel John Todd, General Robert Todd, and General Levi Todd. Levi was the grandfather of Mary Todd Lincoln. Owen Todd and Samuel Todd Jr. were also first cousins of this Parson Todd. Of course, Samuel Todd was the sheriff of Butetote, and that's Butetourt, Butetote, in the Mitchell book, which I feel like is a grammatical, it's an error in the spelling.
Yes,
it has
I believe it is.
Butetote. But most places I find Butetote, Virginia. Anyway, Samuel Todd was sheriff there in 1791 and 1792 and was born about 1738 and died in 1812. Samuel Todd Jr. was grandfather of Mary Louise Gibson of Newport, Kentucky. Mrs. Gibson is certain that these Todds were all cousins of Mary Todd Lincoln, which is abundantly proven through the fact that Dr. Samuel S. Todd, cousin of her grandfather and author of the Todd family history, was a grandson of Owen Todd, a great uncle of Mrs. Lincoln. These facts give the old Todd Wolfolk home near Goshen a new historic interest as the years go by. And the story in this Forerunners of Lincoln is about beautiful Jane Todd, who was Jane Todd Crawford's niece. And she was the daughter of Major John Todd. And who was...
Is he the one that was at Bryan Station and was killed at the Battle of Blue Licks or something?
Well, I didn't find that in... Is Goshen, Kentucky's around Prospect, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So I would like to sometime go there and see what information. But it says that Jane Todd Crawford's brother bought the old Todd Woolfolk home place near Goshen in July 1818. And being the son of Samuel Todd Jr. of Buddatuck County, Virginia, he was a near cousin of Mrs. Lincoln. Also in this Forerunners, in which I at the very end of one of the chapters, it says that Mrs. Jane Todd Crawford, the brave and heroic woman upon whom Dr. Ethram McDowell of Danville, Kentucky, performed the first famous operation in abdominal surgery, was a sister of Major John Todd, who built the old Todd Woolfolk home. And she was, of course, an aunt of beautiful Jane Todd. It seems that they visited the Todds at Goshen in the early days. And Dr. Schachner of Louisville, in his brilliant biography of Dr. McDowell, sought diligently to place this Mrs. Crawford in her relationship to the Lincoln Todds. And it was to his satisfaction to verify that relationship fully.
Okay.
So.
So the Todds that were at Goshen, Kentucky, they are related to a brother of Mary Todd Lincoln?
That is, as I say, that gets very, very confusing when you get, you know, go through all of this.
Well, we'll sort it out when we listen to the tapes again, I guess. But,
yeah.
Some of the references that you mention, Forerunners of Lincoln, are those books still available in print, or do you know?
Well, I checked, and says that Center College had a copy, and I told Stuart about it because he's a Todd descendant, and wants to do some. And I think in Louisville, the library in Louisville has, I wish it could be reprinted because it is just, I've read it, gone through it twice. Of course,
Do you know if it's in public domain? It would be, wouldn't it?
Probably so. It's 1926, I think. And it is also mentioned in, I don't know whether you're familiar with this. That was in 1935 when they...
The Jane Todd Crawford Memorial.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm not familiar with this, but it's in the medical journal.
Yeah, and okay. At the very end...
Yes, I am. I think the McDowell House has reprinted this.
They probably have.
They may have already reprinted this one, too.
But I think it in some of my reading, other than this, Forerunners, I have run across Lucius Rule.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So who is he now?
Well, he was a Presbyterian. I was talking about the home in Goshen. He talks about that's some of his, where he grew up also.
Now, all of these people were Presbyterians when they came here, right?
Yeah.
Some of the Todds may have been connected with the Elijah Craig Traveling Church, but I'm not sure.
Well, you were talking about Father Rice here. Reverend Rice is named in the obituary of Thomas Mitchell. Mary Jane, that's his sister, Mary Jane's youngest brother, as pastor of the Presbyterians who erected their Ebenezer, the church in Greene County, of which Thomas and family were members. And, of course, Father Rice was one who started the... And I'm going to, if you've got time today, I'm going to take you by Jane Todd Crawford's, where she lived, where the cabin is.
I have the whole day. We can do whatever you like.
And then we'll come back through... through and I'll show you Ebenezer. That's my
I'd like to see
Ebenezer's
it.
My home church, so
Now, you also mentioned a history of the Mitchell family. Who wrote that?
Well, she is Lily Mitchell. This is it.
And when was it written?
Back in the 50s or 1950 or 60.
Is that available to people to see? Or
well, we've made copies of it. It's in the Green County Library, and she sent it to the death of Lily Elmer Mitchell on March the 6th, 1959, left unfinished her labor of love in writing the history of the Mitchell family and their allied lands.
They're never finished.
But we owe her.
Well, are those available for people to make copies?
I've made copies for, people. So, I could get Hayes Printing to make a copy.
I'd like one very much.
That's very interesting. That's the beautiful Jane Todd.
She is pretty. And she was William Mitchell's wife.
Yeah, she married William Mitchell. And I feel
lived
sure
here in this area?
No, Goshen.
In Goshen.
John Jr., who was Thomas Mitchell, John Jr. Mitchell, was Thomas Mitchell's father. And his brother, William Mitchell, Allen's History gives the story about William Mitchell. Allen's History of Kentucky.
I know what you're talking about.
So that William Mitchell seemed like Girard County or
Garrett County.
Garrett County, yeah, I believe. So I feel sure that she married a William Mitchell, and I'm sure that was still the Todds marrying the the Mitchells.
Right.
She had another Samuel Snowden, who was so smitten by her, and that's in there. He wrote all this beautiful poetry to beautiful Jane Todd, and she didn't marry Samuel, and she married William, who had been married before and was an older man and whatnot. But that tells the story in there about their relationship. And this Greene County map, here's Mount Gilead and the Skin House Branch and whatnot, and then here we come to, this is the trail that I'm sure she's taken through here. And she came by Ebenezer and then crossed Roachville. It says she crossed Roachville Ford. That one's a little blurry.
So from her place, she's going northwest.
Of course, where Ebenezer is now, at that point, it was a log church, which is probably about a mile from where it's located now.
Is there a cemetery out there?
Ebenezer Cemetery. Yeah, and the old Ebenezer Cemetery is where the old church used to be, and it's all grown up. But we're planning.
Are any of these descendants buried there at Ebenezer?
Well, I will show you where the Mitchells are buried today. They're buried on the old Mitchell estate. Here's there.
Where is the old Mitchell estate?
Well, I will come by there today, and I'll show you. You'll see this place still is there, and then this is the highest point on that farm. You have to go through a cow pasture and whatnot to get to it. But this is Rachel Crawford's stone, and this is Thomas Mitchell's stone.
Well, for the tape, give me an idea of where this is.
Okay, it's up near the Long Hunters Camp.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy to
find. And we are hoping that at some point we can get a grant, to get that cemetery. This is, the stones are broken, and this is my niece who's holding that stone up so we can. And it's not really accessible. You've got to get with the
who farm. Owns the property?
It's Barclay Hancock. So he's taken. We've been up there a couple of times. It's been quite a while since we've been, but it's a beautiful setting. When you drive along that road, you look, and it's just a little grove of trees on the highest point of that. But that was part of the Mitchells.
Now, are there Revolutionary War soldiers or anybody like that buried in there? Because if there are, government will give you help.
No, but now the old Presbyterian Ebenezer Presbyterian Cemetery has a couple of Civil War veterans in it, and that's one that we would like to get. But this one, the cemetery interred, in addition to our great-grandparents, several of our children and grandchildren and one grandchild, and then it lists who's buried in the old Mitchell Cemetery.
So there is a Thomas Mitchell buried there.
Thomas and Rachel are buried there, and his son, John Addison, and his wife, Amelia, are buried.
So most of these died around the 1850s and 60s, these people. So are they still allowing people to be buried in that cemetery, or is it just...
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. It's in a sense of abandon, I guess they call it.
Yeah, it's one of those that's...
Well, tell me how you've accomplished your research. What have you been doing to get this information?
Well, I've just everything that I've got this 3-ring binder from Jane Todd Crawford, and every time I, you know, come across something just like this, was Sam Moore, who was a lawyer in Greensboro, who's just died mm-hmm. recently, and he's a distant cousin of mine. This was his file, and I brought it up to copy some things, and I found this interesting. I didn't realize this is one, something that Stuart Sanders wrote back in
the Kentucky Humanities magazine
in 2003.
He's a very good writer.
Yeah,
he is.
So I copied that to put in my book, and then I've copied this, which we have a hard time with, you know, in the, our arts council has reprinted, or we're in the process of printing this medical journal,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're having a hard time getting Greensburg in here. It was called, let me see the old copy. Jane Todd Crawford in Greenville.
Oh, really?
Then this, at this
was program, it Greenville back then?
No,
or was it always Greensboro?
In its early days, it was Greensboro.
Right.
And then it was changed to Greensburg. But in this book, the first he talks about Jane Todd Crawford of Greentown.
And what is that book?
That's the one.
The Jane Todd Crawford Memorial.
Memorial in 1935.
Okay.
So we're sort of coming up with this thing. Where in the world is Greensboro, Kentucky?
Well,
the history's not getting us straight. But anyway, I've just been fascinated by, and 5 years ago is when we started the Arts Council started doing the Jane Todd Crawford story, and so
okay, I was going to ask you about that.
We do that each year on Jane Todd Crawford Day, which is, of course, December the 13th.
So it's your Arts Council
it's
that
Arts
does
Council.
That?
Arts Council, and you will later be talking to Suzanne Bennett, who mm-hmm. is our Jane Todd Crawford.
And a very good one.
Yeah. And back, I guess,
you do that on December the 13th
each
every year?
Every year, yeah.
Okay.
We have for the past, this will be our fifth year, and then 4 years ago we started the creative writing contest for fifth grade students. And so Suzanne Bennett and Warren Wolf, Warren accompanies her, he's a classical guitarist, and he accompanies her with music from that period. And they go to the fifth grade class, and she does a monologue of the play, a shorter version for them, and then they can interview, talk to her, and ask questions and whatnot, and then they're assigned. This year we're going to be giving 4 prizes, $75 for the first prize, and 50, 30, and 20, I think. And so that's been it's grown each year. And
Is that just for Greene County students?
Greene County students.
County as well?
Yeah, Greene County. And so this year they're all in the same. They were, we did have Pierce Elementary and
Somersville Elementary up until this year, and they built a new elementary for that, and so they're all at the same place now, so they only had to do one. But they said it was very well received, and the teachers seem to be, you know, encouraging the students. But then they can get on the internet and the library and do research, and we feel this way. Like the first group that we did are now, I guess, junior high. So every child that comes through the system, if we continue doing this, then every child will know the story of Jane Todd Crawford, and maybe we'll have some historians to
right. Do they also go up to the McDowell House during this time, or does that have, that's just a teacher thing?
It's, yeah, they haven't.
Whatever they decide
yeah,
to do.
Yeah. But
you mentioned to me before we started the tape that all of these families came from the same part of Ireland.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about that a little
well,
bit?
Well, I don't, you know, unless I can find it.
No, that's okay.
I just knew it's in this Mitchell. It's in this Mitchell history that the McDowells and the Crawfords and some of the other families were from the same area.
Do you know of other family names that are here that are connected with these? Could you just name a few of them off? Or, I mean, I know every time someone marries, you add a name.
Yeah.
But how far back do you know other names that are part of this family?
I mean, you know, like brothers, I don't really, and like sisters. You know, McClure's, and but most of these families, of course, Greene County seemed to be, all these families came through Greene County and then moved on. And as far as, just like I said, you know, the Mitchells, of course, and we don't really think of ourselves as, but we are part Crawford, so.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mitchell and Crawford family
it
are
just
the
seems
only ones
odd
that,
to me. That you've got the Mitchells and the Crawfords living within 4 miles of each other in Boyle County in the very beginning. I mean, 1700s, early. And then you've got Mitchells and Crawfords living here early. It's very hard for me to believe that those would not be related to each other some way.
Well, yeah.
But there has to be a connection. There just has to be. But I don't know how you would go about finding. We've tried.
Well, I'm sure that.
And the ones there are the ones who came up. They came up through the gap as well. And, of course, one of them, his wife was killed. She was a Shipley. And the Berries were connected with this family. Do you have anything in your records that would connect the Berries or the Shipleys, or the Thompsons, to any of these people?
No, I know that Jane Todd Crawford's sisters were already, they came to Greene County before. She had two sisters that came to Greene County before they came, and that was, you know, part of the reason for coming to Greene County was because they had relatives already. Here.
Well, that's the reason some of these came, because they had relatives here already. Why did they choose Greene County, do you believe?
Well, it's in Rockbridge County, there was, I read someplace where there had been a fire. They had a nice brick home that they lived in. That was John Jr.'s that passed on to Thomas. And then there was a fire. And the lack of water was part of it. They knew that Greene County was full of springs and water was plentiful and whatnot. And it says in here at some point that they felt that that was, you know, part of the reason that drew them to this part.
So it wasn't land grants for military service or anything like
well,
that?
Well, and it turns out that the Johnsons, who they sold their property to in Rockbridge County, is who they bought the property from in Greene County. So
out,
it was kind of a swap. Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I've heard of other situations like that. In fact, just recently.
I was trying to find if I could turn that off a minute. Don't turn
say
it on
that
yet.
Again.
No, don't turn it on until I get my. I'm getting to the age where I don't always, things don't always come out like I planned for them to. But there was dispute over land there, and that they weren't.
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, and that's why they moved on to Virginia.
Okay, would you mind reading that again?
Okay. When the Mitchells first came, they settled in Pennsylvania.
Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but the push was to the western counties of Pennsylvania, where the Scotch-Irish were offered land at a low cost by the Quakers and the Dutch settlers who were already established in the state. A historian of one of the southern Pennsylvania counties surmised the settling of this part of the state as follows. The Scotch-Irish were not afraid of anything. They were ready to fight and did fight the Indians. So the Quakers and the Dutch, who were afraid of the Indians, were glad to give them land to settle in western Pennsylvania for the protection of their farms and interest. Generally, the Scotsmen from Ulster?
I don't know.
Were regarded as fearless, adventuresome, creative, and on the move, all of which are pioneering traits. They were ready to conquer the American wilderness and did. And then there was some problem with land in Pennsylvania, and so they got, so that's why land was free or whatever, and I guess was free to the takers in Virginia. They were trying to settle that.
I'm not sure if that's what it was or if they, the people who owned the land got so much money for each person that they settled on their land or something like that.
Yeah.
I believe, didn't Dr. Ephraim McDowell's grandfather, Ephraim McDowell, settle on the Beverly Grant?
I don't know.
That was there. I think they were the first ones who settled. They had met this man overnight somewhere on the road, and he said if they would come and show him how to get there, then they could have 1,000 acres. So one of the sons took him up on it, and they took him to the Beverly Grant, and they received land there. If I'm not mistaken, they're the ones who did that.
That's the picture of the old Mitchell home in Rockbridge County. And it was the one that said that there was a fire. I mean, it didn't burn. They had to, didn't destroy it, but it did do some damage to it.
Is that home still standing, or do you know?
I don't know. It was at 1950? The time this was written. Yeah. And the,
have you been to Virginia yourself to see any of this?
Mm-hmm. And they were... John Jr. and John Sr. and John Jr., who were, that was Thomas Mitchell's father and grandfather, were buried in Rockbridge County, but anyway, a site that had overgrown and whatnot. So some of their descendants put a stone up in the Lexington, Virginia cemetery that is in here somewhere.
Is that the memorial to the McDowell family or
that's,
not? No, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Mitchells. This was John Sr. and John Jr. who came over from Ireland.
So that is in Lexington, Virginia?
In Lexington, Virginia, yeah.
Okay.
But that,
I know there's also one to the McDowells over there somewhere that is on four sides, has different inscriptions to the different family members.
Yeah.
They can't be too far apart from each other. Do you know what church they were associated with there in Virginia?
Well, that Timberlake Presbyterian Church is one that's mentioned. And it seemed like there. Another thing, of course, at the time, John Sr. and John Jr., the Episcopal Church was the church, and they didn't recognize marriages that were performed by Presbyterians, so it was hard to, and here they talked about they couldn't find who married some of these people because they were married by Presbyterians, and it wasn't until like the middle 1700s or so was when Presbyterians were allowed to.
So that's why some of the marriage records are missing?
Missing, yeah.
That's interesting. I know that a lot of the people who settled in the Boyle County area, Mercer County at the time, were from a little place called Cub Creek up there in Virginia. And that's where David Rice actually came from. Mm-hmm. He had been the pastor there for them, and then he went on to some other churches, but they invited him to come to Kentucky to be their pastor here. So that's how he happened to get here.
Yeah, somewhere in here it tells about Father Rice, and anyway, he's mentioned, you know, in the Mitchell history. Here, you're talking about Timber Ridge. The McClures were neighbors to the Mitchells and the Porters and members of the Timber Ridge Church. Mary's first cousin, Jean Porter, the mother of Neil Providence, daughter of William Porter III, brother of great-grandmother Margaret Porter Mitchell, married a McClure.
Do you know what his name
was? Thought to be the brother of Andrew. And there was a Reverend Andrew McClure that was a friend of Dr. Rice, or they worked together and whatnot.
So the McClures are also prominent.
But I don't know
of
any McClures that are, you know, still in, there are no McClures still left in Greene County.
And well, there certainly are in Boyle County.
Yeah.
And I know they've been there very early, since very early times. What about the Barbie family that was down here? Do you see any connection to them with any of these people?
I don't know.
Because the Barbies were also prominent people up in the Boyle County area. In fact, Elias Barbie, who was from Greene County, which is now Taylor, part of Taylor County, he was the man who got the School for the Deaf started. He had a deaf daughter. And their home is still standing. He built a home for one of his daughters that is still standing here in Taylor County. Betty Jane Gorin Smith took me out there to see this home one time. It's in terrible shape.
Yeah.
But it's it was still standing a few years ago when I went. Now, they were here so early, and he was, the early Barbie was a, like a officer. So I'm wondering if there isn't a connection with them as well.
It says the Episcopal Church was the state or established church of Virginia up until January the 1st, 1777.
Okay.
All other denominations were called dissenters.
Right.
So up until that time, the marriages weren't recorded.
I know also Dr. McDowell's family, they were Presbyterians, but then they went over to the Episcopal Church before he died and helped start the Episcopal Church there in Danville, or at least his wife did. That's interesting, too, that they were the ones that were dissenters in Virginia. And then went over to the other side. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with me today?
Well, I'm sure there's lots more.
But I can, you know, see about getting you a copy of
I would like to have
this.
One. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
And maybe we'll think of some other things that we'll have questions about later.
Yeah.